Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Preseason game number two coming up on Thursday, the final training camp practice. Welcome back in, everybody. Rob Ellis along with Elliot Shore Parks from 94WIP.com. Go Birds podcast. We are in for Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie on this Tuesday as the rain starts to slightly fall here, but the guys are still out there practicing. And we were discussing in the first segment expectations. Elliot's leaning more towards 9-7. I'm certainly in the double-digit category, 10, 11 wins. But, Ellie, let me ask you this then, just playing off of that. Let's talk even bigger picture. You think they still get in with the 9-7 record. For you, let's take it a step further beyond what the regular season record's going to look like. Mm-hmm. How do you think they finish the season, and what's acceptable to you?
So coming into training camp, I thought the expectation for this team should be to get into the playoffs, win a playoff game, maybe two playoff games, right? I thought the team had that type of talent. After watching them for close to 3 weeks, my expectations have changed. If this team makes the playoffs, that's a good year. Anything past that, I think we're overshooting the expectations for this roster.
That would be a worse year than last year.
Well, last year they had a quarterback that had played in the playoffs and had won in the playoffs.
True, but they won a playoff game last year.
Yeah, they did. And look, this year,
wow.
I'll say that for two reasons. One, the injuries are concerning to me, and I know that that's only a beginning of the year thing, but the games at the beginning of the year count like the ones at the end.
Absolutely.
And two, I think that they have a quarterback. The fact they have a quarterback that's never played in the playoffs has to impact what you think this team can realistically accomplish. How many times have we seen a quarterback in their first postseason win two or three games and go to the Super Bowl? It's happened, but only like from all-time great players. Carson Wentz has a ton of potential. I don't think even the biggest Carson Wentz fan is ready to say he's an all-time great player. So if they get into the playoffs expecting them to win a game, I can't expect Carson to win his first playoff game. I'm not going to kill Carson if he doesn't win his first playoff game.
Boy, I couldn't be further away. I mean, to me, it's a Super Bowl with this team. When you come back with Doug Peterson, you come back with Howie Roseman, I'll grant you, and I agree with you, that there's concerns, but it's not like you have guys who are out for the season on the defensive side. You're going to get them back. You're going to have to weather the storm, I think, early defensively, but it's 16 games. If you can weather that storm, I think the offense is going to do enough. Again, I all of this is Carson staying healthy, so I'm going to go under the premise that he's healthy.
Well, but see, sorry, let me interrupt really quick.
Yeah.
That's a point I disagree with on the it's all about Carson staying healthy. I think that there's this idea out there that if Carson just plays, he's going to be the guy from 2017. He's going to be one of the best five quarterbacks in the league. That's not fair to Carson. Carson has only played something like 40 games in his NFL career. He's landed the last two seasons on the bench with an injury. Carson is not a finished product, and we've seen that out here at training camp. Carson's having issues with some of his deep throws. He's connected with Deshaun a few times, but he should have connected with him a few more where he's missed him. He's had interception problems. And you see him play more from the pocket this year in training camp than move around.
Right.
And I think that's going to be a concerted effort for them going into the season, which is a new style for Carson. So to say that if they just play 16 games, if Carson just plays 16 games, that this team should be 13-3 and Carson's an MVP candidate, is way overvaluing where Carson is at right now in his career.
See, I think he's further along. And I hear you, and you're here every day, and you're watching every single throw, and you're charting every throw as we chronicle. There's no question. But I certainly think if he is healthy and he's out there, I think the expectation level has to be higher than that, simply because of what he did in 17. Even last year, as choppy as it was, and it was choppy, it was all over the place, it was up and down, even though the numbers in the end didn't look all that bad, I think the guy is that talented, and he's got the kind of talent around him. And the other thing is, Elliot, we're not asking him, and at least I'm not asking him, to do it all by himself. I mean, it's not like he doesn't have weapons. I mean, you could go around the NFL. you look at teams like the Chiefs, the teams are going to score a lot of points. As far as depth goes at the receiver spot, at the tight end spot, you know, even now at running back, which they didn't have last year, it's not like you're asking him, hey, man, go carry this offense on your back. He's got a lot of help here.
Yeah, he might.
And he's got Doug Peterson.
He might have the best three starting receivers in the NFL in terms of a trio, I think. I mean, you can talk, you can debate Cleveland out there with Odell, Jarvis Landry, although Antonio Callaway, I believe, is now suspended.
He is suspended.
Yeah,
yep.
So that impacts it. But, yeah, Carson has a ton of talent. Carson had a lot of talent around him last year. I didn't hear people saying last year that, you know, the Eagles didn't have weapons. They had Ertz. They had Jeffrey.
They have more now, though.
They have more now. Agreed. And Deshaun has looked really good. Deshaun has been one of the standouts here of training camp. But, again, Carson was 5-6 as a starter last year, right? I mean, there's this idea that he's now going to go 7-2, you know, at 10-3 or whatever in the games he plays. I just think it's unfair to
play.
All right,
let me counter that. His rookie, and granted, he's a rookie, so that is a big deal. I'm not just overlooking that. But his rookie year, he goes 7-9.
Yeah.
The following year, if he doesn't get hurt, and I know this is projection because we don't know, but they were 11-2 before when he
11-2
blew out his knee. You'd figure he would have probably won 13 games. Fair,
yeah. He might have been NFL MVP.
Right. So that's a 6-game leap from year one to year two. Why can't I think that from 5-6 he can, you know, healthy now?
Because I think sometimes the 2017 Carson that we saw, we talk about that like it's been the majority of his career. That's not been the majority. That is the minority. That stretch he went on in 2017, it wasn't his rookie year, and I thought he played very well his rookie year on a rookie scale. So I'm not saying he should have been that right away, although you do see other rookie quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield and guys like that come in and make an instant impact. But people overlook 2018. 2018 did happen. Like the Carson we saw last year, and I know he had the back injury, but the Carson we saw last year is the more recent Carson than 2017. And I think more so than almost any other sport, what you are recently in the NFL matters a lot.
Okay.
With the physicality of the game, the you know, the roster is always changing, all that. So I think, look, I don't think Carson's going to go 5-6 as a starter, but I think 9-7, 10-6 is more realistic for this team, and that is borderline playoffs.
888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon. Elliot saying, essentially from an expectation level for the season, if you want a playoff game, that would be great. I say the expectation's got to be Super Bowl for this team, considering everything that goes along with it. All right, so there is a lot of Philly stuff to touch on because they do begin the series. They had a day off yesterday. There wasn't anything that happened. There was a lot of speculation that someone was going to pay the price for what was happening. Look, to me, I had been a Kapler, defender throughout.
Mm-hmm.
I said, give them this year. Last year, they weren't talented enough, et cetera, et cetera. The reason why I say I would have pulled the trigger, I knew the Phillies wouldn't, by the way, but I would have pulled the trigger, is I just see a collective malaise with this group where they're just not motivated, and I see too many guys playing poorly right now collectively. That's not to say I'm absolving the front office. I'm not, okay? Mm-hmm. They didn't do a good enough job either. But something's got to give because you can't fire players, and you got to try to shake this thing up if you feel like you can salvage anything at this point in time. So that's me. Where do you stand on the whole Kapler team front office debate here?
So Kapler is so far down the list of issues with this team, I'm surprised he gets the attention he does. When you look at why this team is struggling, there's two huge reasons outside of Kapler. The first is the roster is not as good as we thought, and they didn't do anything at the trade deadline to make it better, right? I get that they went out and spent the money, and John Middleton deserves credit for that. But coming into this season, I heard caller after caller after caller call into the station and say the pitching is not good enough. And that's exactly what's happened, especially in the bullpen. The lineup was good at the beginning of the season, but having Franco as your third baseman was obviously a mistake. And the McCutchen injury hurt. But then the biggest issue with this team right now is Bryce Harper. The fact that this guy is making what he is coming in. We just talked about Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz is anything close to the type of disappointing season Bryce Harper did, people will be calling for him in the streets. Bryce Harper, to me, the ultimate embarrassment for Harper is, his face was all over the All-Star game, right? And he wasn't even there. That speaks absolute volumes as to what the MLB Phillies, they want him to be a player that he simply has not been. We talked about the most recent series against the Giants. How can you blame Kapler when the bases are left loaded in the seventh inning? And then I believe they got two guys on in the next inning and only scored one of them. Kapler can't go up there and hit for the guys. Kapler's really only impact is deciding who goes up there, and then it's up to them to make the play. The front office didn't give him the players to do it. The players are not getting the job done. Bryce Harper isn't. Rhys Hoskins has been abysmal over it, really, since the All-Star break. And the entire offense has been. Since the All-Star break, I think they're 27th in the league in offense. What do you want Kapler to do?
Well, here's what I would say to that. I would counter that by saying, when I look at this lineup, and I be the first one to tell you their pitching's not good enough, and Klintak either was blind or just refused to spend any more money on the starting rotation, which is a terrible decision, and it's come back to haunt them. So I'll be the first one to tell you that. But if I look at this lineup, right, and we ultimately have this debate all the time. Like, we know there's not enough talent on the pitching staff, but in theory, going into the season, we all said these guys should hit. They should score runs. I look at this team, and I see across the board underachievement. Now, if it was, let's just say it was only Harper and Hoskins was carrying them and Kingery was carrying them and Realmuto, I'd say, yeah, man, lay this all on the feet of Bryce Harper. They are across the board underachievers. I mean, with the exception of maybe Kingery, who figured it out after a rookie year, and he hasn't been perfect, but he's been much better. He looks like certainly an everyday player for you. Who's overachieved here, and who hasn't grossly underachieved, other than maybe Cesar Hernandez?
Well, I think you can make the argument JT Realmuto has kind of just been the offensive player he's been throughout his career. He hasn't.
And he's a very good fielder.
Yeah, he's maybe the best defensive catcher in the league. Mm-hmm. Coming into this season, we all thought.
But I'm talking about offensively, yeah.
Right. Coming into this season, we all thought he would be better in Citizens Bank Park than he was. So I don't know if he's underachieved, but he certainly hasn't been the player everybody thought. Kingery's been better, certainly. But again, Bryce Harper's who you paid all the money for. Rhys Hoskins is supposed to be the guy protecting Harper. McCutcheon's got hurt. That was definitely a blow to this team, especially with how well he was playing. But you're right. These guys are underachieving, but I'm not sure how you can completely blame Gabe for that.
How do you explain in a series that you really need to have, like the Giants, and we could run through 100 of these so far this year, but let's just go to the Giants series most recently. They come out, and they're lifeless, and they get one hit. And then they have the big night because Harper hits two. Then the next game, they get three hits, two of which were bloops. And then you have that disaster on Sunday where, you know, Pivetta, who is counted on in a high leverage situation, gives up a two-run hit to a guy who's never batted before. Like, I hear you. And at some point, the players have to take accountability. But this team, too often for me, doesn't even show up. That's a reflection of a manager.
Yeah, and so that is one thing I will agree with you on. The team does consistently come up small in big games, right? In individual games, you can certainly point to leaving the bases loaded for Rhys Hoskins. Bryce Harper walked to load the bases against the Giants. I get you want to be smart at the plate. I'd almost rather see him
swing
there.
You need your big boy delivering.
Right, but I think overall this season, and you can really look at last year, too, if you wanted, obviously less talented, but Gabe's teams consistently don't win big games in big spots. And I do think that falls on Gabe partially, but I don't think that's not their biggest issue. The biggest issue is the players are underperforming. And Klintak, really, now that he's been here, you know, more than a year, you can look at his track record and say, where are the smart moves outside of just handing out the big paychecks?
Yeah, which John Middleton did. I mean, it's not, I don't know, how can you, I don't give any credit to Klintak for that.
I mean, look, when he traded for Realmuto, everybody said, okay, he gives up Sixto Sanchez. When he does that, everybody says, this is a smart move. Well, Sanchez looked really good, and Realmuto, we just discussed,
has looked fine,
at
but he hasn't
best been what we expected. Yeah. He's not been better. I don't think that looks like a savvy move by Klintak at this point. Gene Segura has been a disappointment, and we've obviously discussed his hustle issues. But overall, Klintak hasn't made moves where you say that was a good value play for this team.
There hasn't been the Jason Worth gem, if you will. Let's go to Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 94 WIP.
Fellas, how are you doing this morning?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, Seth, playing games here. This is an average team right now. You talked about the work that Fletcher hasn't done. You talked about Carson throwing interceptions. This is not a championship team right now. The goal is hopefully they will blend into one. But
the
right
Eagles,
now,
the Eagles are an average team?
I'm sorry, say that again?
The Eagles are an average team?
No, I'm just, I've seen them in practice. I haven't been impressed really with anyone. I'm surprised they have, you know, there's a lot of injuries. You put that out there. But also, it's just a malaise. I don't know. Maybe the first game.
Who's got a malaise, Dave? Who?
I didn't see the game.
Are you really judging this much off of practice? One practice you saw?
Well, no, I think Dave's making fair points. The injuries are here. The injuries, and you said you weren't impressed with what you've seen.
I've been more than one practice. I haven't been impressed. I've been impressed before. Something about it I'm not impressed with.
All right, I don't know what's going on. It sounds like he's in some kind of tunnel. But I'm sorry. There's a point where you overvalue things, and maybe Dave's seen more than one practice, but we're going to get – there's a malaise. Have you noticed a malaise with this Eagles
team?
No,
there's definitely not a malaise. That's one area I would disagree with Dave on. I do think it's been a very physical training camp. I think that you can certainly – look, the vibe around this team is different than it was last year. Now that I'm away from training camp last year, it's been a year since they won the Super Bowl. You could tell last year – now, at least, that there was a Super Bowl malaise over this roster. Yeah. I do think winning the Super Bowl in 2017 directly impacted their 2018 season.
I do, too.
And I think they'll be better for that, not having that malaise. But I would agree with Dave is, and I couldn't tell if he'd been to practice or maybe he's just reading practice reports, is it hasn't been an especially impressive training camp for the quarterback, and that's concerning.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is with – the whole this is Carson and starters, but in particular Carson. It's not like you get to work out the kinks in preseason games anymore. Teams choose not to do that, which means, you know, you're really going in kind of blind in that first game. I know you've talked about how they've increased the reps of the ones in practice.
Yeah, 101 practice reps for Carson in the last two practices before today.
Yeah, they're viewing that as preseason games, essentially. And which is going to lead to, and I think this is going to be around the league, not just the Eagles, it's going to lead to a lot of sloppy football the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
In a big way.
Well, and that's the problem. So week one, Washington, that should be an easy win, assuming they don't come out and just completely are sloppy. That should be a very easy win. Week two at Atlanta, that's a very tough game for this team.
I think it's a loss.
Week three, Detroit comes here. I think that's a win, but they have struggled against Detroit recently. And then week four, short week at Green Bay. Look, 2-2 out of the gate in the first four would be an accomplishment,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you have to win the games, those easy games, and then I think that the road games are going to be very difficult.
Green Bay's kind of a mystery team for me with the new coach and just sort of the way things have played out for them the last couple of years.
Short week. I agree with you. Short week at Lambeau, the home team, Aaron Rodgers. That would be a very impressive win for this team.
Yeah, and the Eagles, we've seen them do it, like going to Carolina in 17. We've seen it, but that's a very difficult thing for the road team on a Thursday night for sure.
Yeah, and we saw them do it in Carolina, like you said, in 2017.
Yep. Let's go to Rudy, talk a little Phils in Plymouth meeting. What's going on, Rudy?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Good, man.
I've been a diehard Phillies fan for about 50, 60 years. But I'm really looking forward to August 15th when the Little League World Series starts. So I start seeing a better brand of baseball. I mean, it's been terrible.
What do you think the Phillies' biggest issue is?
Well, coaching worst of all. Everybody's been saying that. But, you know, the way he does the lineup, why do you have a number two hitter, number three hitter, and four hitter? Batting first and second. Hey, put those guys that are in the 300 average, put them up front. Put Harper and what's his name down the seventh and eighth.
So here's the thing, Rudy. Here's the thing. I agree with you to a certain extent. But at the same time, if none of them are hitting, what's the lineup order matter?
Well, the problem is there's no 300 hitters, number one. Number two, yeah. Rudy, it's they've tried everybody and their mother in the leadoff spot, and none of it's worked.
Yeah, but it's not Harper. You don't put Harper there, you know.
Yeah, I would.
You got to get somebody on base. Yeah. I agree you don't want to put him there, but you have to get people on base early on.
The rub here is Harper does get on base because he will walk, certainly, even though you know he hasn't hit the way we would like.
Sure,
but you want your big boppers sitting there in the 3-4 hole to drive people in. The problem is if there's nobody getting on in front of them, what difference is it? Like I'll put it to you this way. This weekend he hit leadoff. He actually had a good series against the Giants.
And the issue is your big boppers like Rhys Hoskins.
But then they left 16 guys on base, and they had 10 walks.
Well, and that's the problem. Your big boppers, your guys that you're supposed to be doing that, aren't doing it when they have the chances.
Yeah, and you know, here's the problem you're running into. It's like perfect storm stuff. You know, Hoskins has been god-awful since the All-Star break. I mean, he's killing them. He's killing them because he's been up in so many big spots and he hasn't delivered. He's been terrible, but he's not alone. I mean, Real Muto has not been clutch, even though he's... Yeah. You know, hit somewhat better. Rudy, thanks, man. Hit somewhat better.
By the way, Carson just hit Deshaun for a touchdown out here in a red zone drill. So
yeah, that connection's been all over the place.
Yeah, he really has.
They've been really good throughout camp, that's for sure. Look, the Phillies' problems run deep. For me, though, I see a team that's not motivated to play for their guy. I see a Mets team, and I hate to say this, believe me, I see a Mets team that's fighting for their manager, fighting for their fans.
I think that falls back on Klentak, too, to a certain degree, because you mentioned you see a Mets team that's fighting. Well, the Mets team also have a general manager that invested in them at the trade deadline. Klentak basically came out and said, A, we're not doing anything, and B, if these guys can't get it done, they can't get it done. I mean, McPhail says if we make it, we make it, right?
I think if you want a textbook way to not handle something, had the president pop out of, you know, his hole for the first time in a long time and say, if we make it, we don't. Had the GM, whether he's hamstrung or just doesn't want to part with the few prospects they have, go out there and get, you know, middling to worse guys off of the street. I'm not going to argue any of that. I think they've failed. This, to me, Elliot, this needs to be a full-blown cleansing across the board.
But it's
not going to happen in season. It's not going to happen until the offseason.
And the shame of that, though, is when they do the cleansing, the first to go will be Kapler, when really he's third or fourth in the list of issues with this team. He's the front person. He does not do a good job speaking to the media. I will agree with everybody on that. He does not help himself publicly. But when you talk about game-to-game management, he can only do so much if the guys aren't hitting. I mean, Rudy said he wants to see the lineups different. Well, the lineup doesn't really matter if nobody's hitting. You can't invent hits, right? I mean, you need to – players need to, a certain degree, end up just doing a simply better job, then Capra will look better.
Maybe, but I don't think the approach that's being taught, which, again, I know it's everybody. I know this is what Klintak believes, it's what McPhail believes, but it's also what Gabe and John Mailey believe, is clearly lost. They're clearly lost up there at the plate. And then guys who have, for the most part in their career, been pretty good hitters are average and certainly not clutch hitters.
And to a certain degree, everything falls at the foot of Gabe, right? I mean, he hires the assistant coaches, he hires the hitting coach, the pitching coach, and they have not done a good job. I agree. But I do wonder if the Phillies could bring in better coaches at that point, Gabe would look better.
Absolutely. 888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon cell. More Gabe, more of the front office. And Eagles-wise, Elliott's got the Eagles at 9-7. He'd be satisfied with what he's seen so far. If they just win a playoff game, I say absolutely double digits win-wise, and it's got to be Super Bowl with the way that this roster has been laid out and the aggressive moves in the offseason. 888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon cell. Also, when we get back, Elliot, it is time for a celebrity fight.
I love a good celebrity fight.
You're going to choose yours. I'll choose mine. We want to hear from you. I'm Rob Ellis. He is Elliot Shore Parks. We are in for Joe DeCamera. John Ritchie, 94 WIP Middays.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.